Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Why more New Action Caucus candidates for the United Federation of Teachers union position deserve your support.
We're joined in studio by Gia Lee, candidate for president. Gia is the fourth and fifth grade special education teacher and is chapter leader at the Earth School in District 1. She is a public school parent and an opt-out organizer with Change the Stakes and New York City Opt-Out, a member of the Stronger Together Caucus, and a national network of social justice caucuses.
And Camille Letourneau, candidate for secretary, has been an English teacher since 1996. She was elected to chapter leader and won grievances that were said to be unwinnable and organized her chapter into a force at many union rallies. As a leader in the independent community of educators, she was instrumental in the battle against the giveback-laden 2005 contract. She is now a delegate from Humanities and the Arts High School in Queens.
And Jonathan Halabi is candidate for the high school division of the executive board. He is a UFT chapter leader and a math teacher at the High School of American Studies at Lehman College. He's been on the UFT executive board from 2009 to the present. Jonathan describes teaching as an honorable career. We help kids learn and grow. Their success is our reward, but not if we are mistreated, not if our voices are ignored, not if decisions that affect our schools are made out of incompetence and malice. We are running to ensure all our voices are heard in our union. Now, we want to welcome the three of you to present your views on, shall we say, union reformation and democratization, and most critically, what you as union members, as teachers, professionals do to enhance the education system of public school students. By way of saying that, More New Action says, if you're tired of the attacks against teachers and public education, if you're tired that our students' education has been hijacked by a test prep curriculum focusing our time on data instead of teaching, then we need something different. We're going to get back to that question of what something different is, but I wanted to give Jonathan and Camille and Gia opportunities to give us an opening statement.
This is GS. Many of our students are faced with conditions, situations that are beyond their control. We as educators are fighting and facing these with them each and every day. And we need to have a mobilized rank and file membership to be able to support our school communities. For me, just a little bit of background, I am a fourth and fifth grade teacher. I'm a special education teacher. So I've actually taught from grades K to 12 since 2002. I've found that many of the conditions our students need to be able to thrive are at odds with policies that have been top down. We've been a part of an incredible amount of pushback, even at the school level, the less autonomy teachers have in the classroom to support their students. This is in keeping with the kinds of issues that people who teach in progressive schools are finding at odds. Just recently at CPE1, that Central Park East 1, the progressive school that is basically the foundation for the Earth School, which is where I teach, is under attack with a new administration who is trying to undo a lot of the progressive education policies. What we're trying to do now is find a way to bring to our union empowerment to be able to allow us to empower our students and ourselves. And I actually became chapter leader as a result of a Leadership Academy principal at my previous school, which was PS63. As a result, I found myself pushing back, having to form consultation committees on issues such as professional conciliation. The amount of micromanagement was intense. I couldn't understand what was happening and where our union was. As soon as I entered the Earth School, I discovered that there was a lot of progressive educators who are able to have autonomy and work with others in collaborative ways. And I said, I can't be silent anymore. It's what empowered me to fight back. Thank you.
And Jonathan?
It's very interesting. Gia is an elementary school teacher. I'm a high school teacher. People often say that elementary school teachers and high school teachers look at things differently. Elementary school teachers look at the kids, and high school teachers look at their subjects. That's not entirely true, but it informs a slightly different take on the problems that we're running into. I came into teaching 19 years ago to teach mathematics. And people would correct me and say, well, you're teaching kids. And it took me a while to really get that. And it is important. I wanted to teach math to kids. But I would say at the beginning, teaching math, I got very involved. I got involved in the State Math Federation. I was on their executive board. I helped found a new school and develop the curriculum. I worked on reforming problem curricula in the Bronx. As I worked, I learned a couple of things. I learned how to teach math from having other teachers around me who knew what they were doing, who were supported, who were in good environments. And because of that, I was able to be a good teacher for kids. The kids and the teaching go together. But those conditions where experienced teachers taught beginning teachers have been disrupted. It's so sad and so unfortunate. It's no longer a career that people go into with a good prospect of being able to stay. And we need to turn that around. Under Bloomberg and under Klein, the amount of abuse, administrative abuse of teachers, the excessive, insane paperwork, and more recently with Gates, the crazy curricula, have really made it impossible to develop a core of long-term stable teachers. And without them, how can our kids learn? But our union isn't fighting back on exactly those issues. I think that's exactly where we need to begin. If we want to give kids the education they deserve, we need to help and support the teachers who come into the system, the new teachers, become that teaching core that all of us deserve.
Camila Turnow.
I spent my formative years in the island of Jamaica in the West Indies. There, I was privy to real trade unionism. The teachers' union and other unions on the island were not adverse to striking and being combative with management whenever they thought that things were done not in the best interest of his workers. So I'm a little shocked when I see so many people afraid of mentioning the S word as if it were a dirty thing. I also have experience with spending summers in London and watching the UK teachers not being afraid to go on strike, getting on a plane and hopping over to France and seeing workers conduct a one-day general strike. No one was able to do anything on the land, sea, or air. And I was fascinated by that. So I'm a little shocked to see why so many people in America here are so adverse to the idea of fighting back. I also want to follow that up with talking about living wages and decent salaries. So many people here in the United States are struggling to make ends meet. I'm often wondering what is going on in the minds of management that think it's okay to not pay people decent salaries. I'm specifically going to speak about our most recent teachers' contract. I must say those raises are pathetic. We are now receiving 10% over 7 years and 1 month. 1 month was added because thousands of teachers retired and they didn't make any provisions for figuring out how much they were owed, so they had to go back and renegotiate an extra month. I don't understand why there is so much fear in fighting for our dignity when the system right now, New York City has a $6 billion surplus. We're not feeling the effects of these surpluses. My classes, 35, 34, 36, this is high school. Why aren't we using these monies to lower class sizes? 9 years ago, we talked about fiscal equity. What's happening with that case? Nothing has changed the numbers in our high school class sizes. Thank you.
Wonderful. Let's go back to that question. The question of if you're tired of the attacks against teachers in public education, if you're tired that our students' education has been hijacked by a test prep curriculum focusing our time on data instead of teaching, then we need something different. So what's wrong with the incumbency, the leadership of the UFT, that you would have the union do something? And what would that begin to look like to really enhance and bring back the superior education that was part and parcel of the public school system in this country? I think Gia's going to start us off.
You know, it was in 2009 when Bill Gates said, in front of the National Conference of State Legislatures that when the tests are aligned to the Common Core standards, the curriculum will line up as well. And that will unleash powerful market forces in the service of better teaching. For the first time, there will be a large base of customers eager to buy products that can help every kid learn and every teacher get better. And I think what we've found is that now teachers in the schools knew nothing about this agenda until it was happening to us in the school systems. When I discovered that our national AFT president had taken millions of dollars from the Gates Foundation to support the Common Core standards, I was shocked. And then when I found out that our own UFT leadership had also taken millions of dollars here in the city to support these standards and the teacher evaluation system that was aligned to it, I was also really dumbfounded. We need to regain empowerment from the bottom up, no longer negotiating at the top with politicians who are in the pockets of corporate entities. Rather, we need decision-making from the ground up, grassroots, to democratize our union. So much of our decision-making is being done top-down. We're a business union. I don't even know if the word union can even be used in this situation when our union has become an arm of the government. So I find that the only way to change, and I've done job actions myself, it's gotten some media attention. I've refused to administer the tests, the state tests, as an act of a conscientious objector. But we need a mass movement, a mass awareness that compliance is not going to get us anywhere. We need complete engagement to change the system.
What's happening is we are teaching to the tests. And I became an educator because I believe in lifelong learning. I welcome the opportunity to empower my students to realize that learning is for life. And so I am being pressured right now to teach to the New York State Common Core English Regents. I'm also being pressured to teach to the what's called the MOSL, the Measure of Student Learning. Both exams are putting us in a position where we are forcing our kids only to learn basically to write argumentative essays. By and of itself, it's not a bad thing that they have to become better writers, but the reality is that the emphasis is being placed on these exams, and it's not placed on cultivating lifelong learners. It's not placed on getting our kids to understand that these skills transfer over in their daily lives, and it's not allowing our kids to develop a love of learning.
You've talked about empowering the teachers vis-a-vis the administration of the schools and vis-a-vis the union hierarchy. But where does the community come into all of this? How does the community get their say? And I know that you're advocating a People's Board of Education. What is that?
You know, it wasn't too long ago that we had locally elected school boards. You know that probably around 2007, 2008, when mayoral control happened, our union stood by. Our union did nothing to fight it. They went along with it. We once had locally elected school boards. I believe that when we gave up our voices, our ability to make decisions alongside the parents and students and other community members about what our schools should look like with culturally relevant pedagogy and being able to attend to the needs of our students beyond just academics, we gave up everything. It's time that we take that back and undo mayoral control as part of it.
Under Bloomberg and Klein,
Jonathan
Holliby. There was a systematic effort to disenfranchise the community through some very obvious things and through some that were less obvious. As they broke up our high schools and as they turned to something called City as Zone, where a high school student could end up anywhere across the city, they broke up the local school as a community institution. I've taught in the Bronx my entire career, where I started. For some people, their community, the church and the school, were the stable institutions, and they've destroyed that. And in the Bronx, they destroyed it with the UFT's complicity. The UFT signed contracts at 20, it was Gates money, starting way back over 15 years ago to do that. Getting the community involved, I think, means getting back to the position where schools are serving individual communities. There can be special schools where kids move across boroughs, but that should be the exception. most people should be joined in their community with their community's school.
Many people would say that a fight for racial and economic justice within the unions, as the unions then take it up within the community, is not what the function of unions are. The function of unions are to service their members, to file grievances, to work essentially around bread and butter issues. But you all seem to be saying that the union has to be more integral in working with the students, in hearing the voice and having a discourse with the teachers as to what the education process would look like. And Ken raised, which you all seem to be sympathetic to, the issue of the union being responsive to the community as part of the educational process. But that's not what unions do. What do you think?
I'm going to beg very, very loudly to differ. It is what unions do, and it's what unions need.
So take that, Rosenberg.
It's what unions need to do. To some extent, it's what we're already trying to do, limited. I think we could do a whole lot more of that. I'm part of the New Action Caucus. It's a different caucus with a different history.
And that both has come together.
And we've come together now for the last decade or so. Because of the attacks of Bloomberg and Klein, we worked together with the current Unity leadership. We really thought that combating those guys was really very important. We stayed critical where possible. But in the process of doing that, we were able to raise some issues, and we continued to raise issues. And they were partially responsive. But I think the union can lead when we do things like supporting the DREAM Act, when we take the lead on stop and frisk. We were the first union in the city to come out against stop and frisk. When we marched
for Sean. But wasn't that under the UFT leadership with Mr. Mulgrove?
So they can do some of that, but we needed to push them. Every one of those initiatives they got pushed on, it shouldn't be pushing. That should be us together out front on this. And we really can be leaders in the community.
Hi, this is Gia. I just want to piggyback off of that. You know, New York City is the third most segregated in the nation. It's a hugely disproportionate number of schools who are targeted under the current evaluation system with the use of faulty metrics, albeit the standardized tests, where 81% of the schools are disproportionately located in black and brown communities here in New York City. It's also the same metric system that is contributing to the disappearance of black and Latino educators in our city, not just here, but nationwide. So I feel that this is the critical issue of our time, that we fight back against the privatization of our schools because it is part of systemic racism.
I wanted to ask about funding because I haven't heard too much come out of Mulgrew about funding by the state of the school system. And the schools took a big hit a few years back with the fiscal crisis, but they also were supposed to have contributed more money through the campaign for fiscal equity, especially for the poorer schools throughout the state. And as far as I know, I mean, there just seems to be a wall of silence. Nobody's talking about this. But that really didn't happen in this last budget, as far as I know. Am I wrong? Am I right? Grade me.
I think that's correct.
And that's
this is
Camille.
It's interesting that we're having this conversation 9 years later. There was a lawsuit, and it was legally binding, we thought, which would force the city to reduce class sizes. But 9 years later, we're still battling oversized classes. Yes, the state still gives us funding. However, I think a lot of that fund is going into the slush funds of our administrators. Because of that, they are now able to give us more professional development. Not that there's anything wrong with professional development, but at the same time, we have to take a step back and look to see what are we really doing to our kids when we cram 35, 36 into a tiny room and leave that class with one teacher. Are we really about educating our kids?
Well, the current head of the UFT, who has been there for some time now, is generally perceived of in the broader public as a strong union leader that is enmeshed in the best representation for his teaching body that is indeed taking huge hits from the public. I've never seen such a campaign as I have in the last really 10 years of degradation and disdain for teachers, which were long considered one of the most valuable and important of professions, as well they should be, because, as I remember, certainly the Cubans used to say, our most valuable resource is not tobacco and it's not the oil, it's our youth, it's our children, it's our future. So, Camille, let's just start with you. You obviously feel that the perception is wrong, that this is a leadership that has not stood for its teaching body and given them the kind of contracts they need and the kind of support they need, as well as the issues that you've been talking about, the community. Can you speak more to that point? So you're going to be on the executive board at another juncture. You're going to assume the seat. What wasn't done by the current UFT leadership?
Oh, gladly. One of the things that I
such vibrancy. That was the right question.
Our teachers are under attack. I almost feel like if we're not careful, we'll end up on the endangered list. We are, unfortunately, many of us working in hostile and toxic environments. And our UFT, the current leadership, fails to understand that we are under attack in many of our schools. And the reality is, if we're under attack in our schools, we are not going to be the best that we can be for our kids because we're too busy warding off attacks from all sides, from our administrators and from the central DOE. Consequently, it pits us against management. So this is an adversarial relationship. It's a hostile environment. It's the level of toxicity that seems to permeate many of our buildings. Where members are feeling afraid to even go against any single administrator because the attack is vicious and it's swift. And we are not better in our kids when that happened. I have yet to see any research that says the more we attack our teachers, the better he or she's going to perform and the higher the statistics of our kids who are performing. It has never happened. So why the UFT leadership isn't helping us to ward off these attacks is unconscionable.
This is Jonathan. There are two particular kinds of attacks that I find very, very concerning. There's a third, new teachers, and you heard I care very deeply about getting new teachers into our system. But when senior teachers, experienced teachers, get attacked, when their schools get downsized and they aren't placed in positions but made to go from school to school and then treated like dirt, and the union doesn't step in, that's horrible. It sends a message to everybody that doing a good job for a long time doesn't guarantee you anything. But even more important, the drive between the top of the union and the members, the connection, the key connections are our district reps and our chapter leaders. Chapter leaders are probably the only people that our members vote for who they actually know. And our chapter leaders are more and more getting fake charges against them, getting hassled, getting harassed, and the union no longer steps in to defend those chapter leaders. And that sends a message to everybody in the school. Nobody is safe. We need to turn that around. We need to protect and stand up for everybody. But the first one, an attack on a chapter leader, should be met by an immediate, strong response. This may not happen. And it's happening now. And when we're in, it will not happen.
This is Gia. I just want to also say that, you know, in the last contract, I'm in a school that's considered under PROS, Progressive Redesign, and it's a long acronym. I can't remember the whole thing. But I will say that there were about 200 schools that were slated within the contract to be able to apply for this, and essentially allows for these schools to be able to design their own measures of student learning. I find that to be divisive, and in any union, we should have a sense of solidarity. Within the same contract, you had provisions for the absent teacher reserve folks who were basically being told, hey, how about you take an early retirement and we'll give you, you know, something out of it, rather than supporting those teachers to find permanent placements as promised. We've created a tiered system within our own contract, and that should just not be. We should have a sense of solidarity within our schools. We should be able to have a sense of solidarity among schools within a district and beyond. And we just don't have that right now. It's a divide and conquer system, and our union has fallen into it.
Are there ways to bring up some of these issues at union meetings? And if you do, what happens?
This is Jonathan. I'm currently on the executive board, and we do raise some of these issues, sometimes as on the exec board, sometimes as questions to make them aware of it. For example, a few years ago, we caught wind, the leadership knew too, they didn't say anything about it, that almost every second or every third probationer wasn't being given tenure, but was having their probation extended. We got up and we asked the question. Other people at the executive board got up and mentioned it as well, but they weren't really supposed to, and they hush-hushed it. That's one thing. Sometimes we'll bring a resolution, and if it doesn't involve actually fighting against the union against the DOE, sometimes it passes. But more often they will table it. They'll come back. They'll make it a little bit weaker. They'll take the teeth out of it, or they'll table it forever. These issues, you can raise them. They don't go very far. That's at the exec board.
This is Gia. I have, as a member of MORE, been a part of raising resolutions at the delegate assemblies. We've attempted to raise numerous resolutions on issues on the teacher evaluation system, parental leave, getting retro pay for those who are on medical or maternity leave, and they were all simply shot down by the Unity Caucus.
And that's why?
You know, that's a really good question. In terms of the teacher evaluation system, we raise an I refuse resolution that was passed in many locals upstate and in Long Island, supported by the Stronger Together Caucus at the state level, and it was passed. Yet at our own local level, we could not seem to get any movement on it. Things that are often said are that, you know, some teachers were saved using the value-added measures. Instead of talking about, well, maybe there's something going on with the administration targeting teachers at the school and how we should address that, they're saying, oh, the observations were horrible, but the VAM, the value-added measure, saved them. And so they wanted to keep, you know, whatever the teacher evaluation system is. Yet it's conflicting at the delegate assemblies.
And the question is, lastly, when is the voting?
That will take place in the month of May. The ballots will come in people's mail at home. Please don't throw them out. We only had about a 17-18% return rate last election. We need to get that much higher. Everybody get involved. Yeah, you just mail it to the American Arbitration Association. It's very easy. Check off MORE New Action, put it in the envelope, and send it back in.
A vote for MORE New Action is a vote for your voice. It's a vote to empower your students and communities. Do it.
I want to thank Gia Lee and Camila Turno and Jonathan and the MORE New Action combined caucuses who are running to assume the positions on the UFT and to take back the union to enhance our education, our public school education, to preserve it, to make it better, and to make our unions more responsive to its membership. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And don't
thank
you all you. Be a dropout because you all got a vote. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.